Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, we welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today, and this is Dave Kistler. And today, Dr. Gary Dahl, of course, is away on vacation. Sam Rohr is on assignment, and I will tell you this much about Sam's assignment. He is actually in the country of Ukraine, even as we speak, and he's going to be meeting with some top leaders over in that country. And that's all I'm going to say at this point. And when he's back here within the next 4 to 5 days, he can share directly with you, the listening audience, all the outcome of that trip. But I want you to be praying for Sam. This is a wonderful opportunity God has opened up for the American Pastors Network in the country of Ukraine. And if you're watching the news at all, you know there's a lot going on along the Ukrainian border. And Sam is going to be in the country of Kiev, so he's not going to be really close to where all the activity is from a military standpoint. However, he needs our prayers along with the others that are with him on the trip, and so I want to encourage you to pray for him. Also, I want to say this. Today's going to be a power-packed, action-packed program, so if you want to grab your phone while you're listening, call a friend and encourage them to listen in. It would be well worth their time, and it's certainly going to be well worth your time to stay aboard for the entire trip. And we are going to have as our guest today Tom Wallace, who is the president of a ministry called Fortress of Faith. Tom is no stranger to this program. He has been on with us several other times before. His area of expertise is the religion of Islam, the ideology of Islam. We're going to be talking about some of that more specifically. An exact component of the religion of Islam, and I'll explain what all that is in just a few minutes. But we're going to bring Tom aboard now rather than waiting for the second segment, because we've got so much we want to discuss. And Tom, it is a delight to have you aboard. I appreciate you so much. Welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Well, Dave, the feeling is mutual, and it is always a joy to be with you and your guests. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we're delighted to have you aboard, and I will say this, Tom, we're going to be talking in the second and third segments, and maybe all the way to the end of the program, off and on about the Islamic theology relative to the treatment of women, and that is very, very important with respect to some things that are going on around the globe currently. But before we get into that, Tom, I know you've been following with keen interest, as have I, the ongoing saga that is the Hillary Clinton email scandal. And just in the last 12 hours, there have been some amazing things that have come out relative to these supposed emails that she was sending back and forth that she has denied sending and receiving. Tom, what has come out most recently is this. There was an email sent from Hillary's advisor, a lady named Uma Abedin, a lady that you are very familiar with, and this is what I want to get your take on in just a second. But Uma Abedin sent an email to Hillary early in 2011, and it was a communication to Hillary relative to the frustration that our ambassador in Benghazi, Christopher Stevens, was experiencing relative to the deteriorating security situation in Benghazi. So we're talking about an email, a confidential email sent over this personal server that Hillary has, a very unsafe system, an incredibly unsafe system. She sends an email about Christopher Stevens' frustrations. That is, Uma Abedin does. Hillary receives that email. My question to you, Tom, is this. Number one, give us a little bit of a history of Uma Abedin, and then answer this. Is it possible, because I know of her background, I know of her connections to some very nefarious people, is it possible she was trying to signal some very dangerous people what was about to take place in Benghazi, or was she trying to send a message? Tell us a little bit about who Uma Abedin is, and then if you understand my question, attempt to answer that if you would.
Well, I'll try to, and of course, if you've been following a little bit about the situation of Hillary's aide, Uma Abedin has been, let's start here. Congress has been trying to have an investigation done on this lady. There are clear ties that she has with the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, these appeals are coming from the Republican side. And, of course, you know, the Democrats are saying, oh, this is just politics. folks, you know, this is not partisan. This is security. This is national security we're dealing with. And if there is someone who has ties to a terrorist organization, by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood is pronounced as a terrorist organization by many nations, except for America. President Obama refuses to classify them as a terrorist organization, and their front groups that are operating here in the United States, CARE, ISNA, and so on there. Other nations have identified them as terrorist organizations, but we refuse to see that, and we're looking the other way. And Huma Abedin is tied at the hip. Of course, her parents were clearly members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Her mother has a number of memberships of organizations that one goes directly to Sheikh Qaradawi. But I think perhaps the greatest situation, or rather the smoking gun or biggest evidence or problems that we have, will be her ties that she has with Abdullah Umar Nassif. He is not only a Muslim Brotherhood operative, but he is well known for his support for Al-Qaeda. And she worked for him closely for 7 years. Also, in addition of those 7 years, 12 years, she was the assistant editor of the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs, which was founded by Abdullah Nassif. And so she has many ties that create a lot of alarms. You wonder,
Tom, let me ask you a question here. You're saying she had ties to these individuals, these incredibly nefarious individuals, prior to going to work for Hillary Clinton at the State Department.
Exactly. Close ties.
Wow. Wow. Incredible stuff. Now, Tom, let me go back to my question that I was trying to get to. Is it possible in your mind, understanding the Islamic mindset as you do, because you've made this a study of your life, at least your recent history, you have delved into the Islamic mindset unlike anybody that I know personally. So this is something that you're very familiar with. Is it possible if her loyalties, I'm talking about Huma Abedin's loyalties, are not really to the United States of America, but they're to these Muslim Brotherhood entities and her ties all the way back to her family members in Egypt. Is it possible that her sending this email about Christopher Stevens' dissatisfaction with the deteriorating security situation in Benghazi, could she have been sending information that she knew could be picked up by one of these nefarious organizations and used against the United States? Is it possible she could be doing that? Are these Muslim Brotherhood people that evil that they would do something like that?
Of course, naturally, we're making an educated guess here. But if you look at where would her loyalties lie, if she's Muslim, if her connections are to these groups and has been working in a clandestine situation, I believe without a doubt, I would not doubt it for a moment that she's been feeding them information.
Well, friends, we're talking to Tom Wallace. He is the president of Fortress of Faith, and he's going to stay with us throughout the second, third, and fourth segments of the program today. I want to challenge you. Please stay with us. We've got some power-packed information we're going to communicate relative to the religion of Islam as a whole, the treatment of women within the Islamic ideology, and we're going to be talking more about Hillary Clinton's email scandal problems and her association with her closest advisor, at the State Department, a woman named Huma Abedin, who is now part of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Please don't go away. Call someone, encourage them to tune in as well. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com. www.thebarkcompany.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He was a Rhodes Scholar before becoming the governor of Arkansas and then America's 42nd president. In 1998, he became the second president ever to be impeached. His original name was William Jefferson Bly III, born this day, August 19, 1946. At age 15, he took his stepfather's name, Clinton. Also on this day, August 19, 1785, Thomas Jefferson wrote to a friend, "He who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and a third time, till at length it becomes habitual. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
This is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. But I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is your host, Dave Kistler, and today the normal co-host, Dr. Gary Dull, of course, is away on vacation. Sam Rohr is away on assignment in the country of Ukraine, so please be praying for both of them. My co-host today is Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith, and again, I want to encourage you, stay tuned. We've got some incredibly important information to share with you and to pass along. Before we discuss further the situation with Hillary Clinton and the role of women as viewed by the Islamic ideology, I want to just welcome aboard, which is what we've been doing this week, and that is three new stations in the Pennsylvania area: WFBM 90.5 out of Beaver Springs, WFBV 90.1 out of Selinsgrove, and then WFBA 90.5 out of Culpmont, and those are all three new stations that have joined our Stand in the Gap radio network. Thank you so much for being aboard, and if you're listening over one of those stations, we welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. Tom, let me ask you a question. I'm sure you are aware of this. It was announced yesterday that President Barack Obama has appointed the first transgender individual to a position in the White House, and the person he's appointed is an individual named Rafi Friedman Gerspan. This is a man who has now become a woman, and Ms. Gerspan, or Mrs. Gerspan, is a former policy advisor at the National Center for Transgender Equality, and her new job will be outreach and recruitment director at the White House Office of Presidential Personnel. Tom, I'd love to have your thoughts about that. This president appointing the first transgender individual to a position in the White House. Give us your comments on that generally, and then I've got some very specific questions to ask you.
Well, I think this is a shameful agenda that our president is pushing. Of course, when he was running for office, you know, he wasn't promoting this agenda. Now that he's in, now that he doesn't have to worry about being voted in again, you know, his true colors are being seen. And, you know, I will say, you've got to get him credit for one thing. He is living up to his promise to fundamentally change America. And every move he makes seems to be an assault on Christian values. And it just keeps going on and on. This doesn't surprise me, but it is deplorable. I, you know, certainly am not happy about it. Many of us are not.
Well, you know, Tom, this is one of several steps that the Obama administration has taken to show support for the LGBT community. You may remember that last year Obama signed executive orders that banned federal contractors from discriminating against employees due to their sexual orientation or gender identity. And then again in April, the president condemned therapies that tried to, as he said it, quote unquote, fix gay and transgender youth, and announced the creation of a gender neutral bathroom in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, which is home to many White House staffers. So this does follow suit, as you're saying, Tom. It is in accord with what he said he was going to do, fundamentally change America. Now, I want to quickly ask you this, Tom. Earlier this week, we had on the program Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and we were talking about some prophetic things. And in the course of that discussion, I asked Dr. DeYoung about the unique nature of President Barack Obama from a prophetic standpoint. And I asked him this. I said, do you view him to be a unique president in the sense that he is setting the stage for some things that the Bible predicts will happen in the end time? And of course, Dr. DeYoung said, yes. And then he went on and said this, and I've never heard him say this publicly, but he was unequivocal in saying he believes President Barack Obama is a Muslim. Tom, I'm going to ask you that question, and there's a method to my madness here, and I think you'll understand very quickly in just a few minutes where I'm going. Do you personally believe, from what you've observed of President Obama, that he is indeed a Muslim?
Well, let me answer it this way. A Muslim is still a Muslim until they publicly renounce their faith in Islam. Until they publicly say, I am now apostatizing myself from the religion of Islam. Now, many Muslims will never do that. They'll stop practicing Islam, but they will never publicly renounce their faith, because every Muslim knows what happens to an apostate. They're to be killed. And so Obama has never publicly announced that. And of course, with the deception laws, there are four doctrines of deception in Islam, that they are, the idea is that they are at war with the kuffar, with the unbeliever, and war is deceit. So it is not just morally or righteously acceptable to deceive the enemy, it is obligatory for them to do so. But I believe there's more to it. I believe Obama has been confused by his so-called pastor, Jeremiah Wright, who is a preacher of Chrislam, that you can be Muslim and Christian at the same time. They are saying to these converts, you don't have to leave Muhammad, you don't have to leave Allah. You already see Jesus, Isa, as your prophet. We just want you to see him also as your Savior. You don't have to leave all this other stuff. Just add a little bit. And I believe that Obama has been taught that. That's been clear, because what Jeremiah Wright said in his interview with the amateur. He wrote the amateur.
Klein.
I can't get his name
Aaron
right
Klein.
Now. Yeah, yes, and Ed Klein. And this is all taped. This has been an interview, a two-hour interview, and pretty much that's exactly what he said. He said, what you need is some coaching on Christianity. He said, well, did you convert him? No, I can't go that far. I can say that I made it easy for him to accept Christianity without leaving his Islamic background. And that
you know,
is
Tom,
key. That is essential.
Tom, that is a powerful, powerful statement. By the way, I have heard that interview, and I would encourage any of our listeners who want to know more about that, this concept of adding Christ on to what you believe and adhere to as far as an Islamic ideology, that is a powerful, powerful interview. Tom, the reason I'm asking the question is this. Obviously, within the Islamic faith, homosexuality is condemned. In fact, it is punishable by death. Is it possible that this adding of quote-unquote Christianity onto his Muslim upbringing, his Muslim faith, is that the possible explanation as to why President Obama is so gay-friendly? Is that a possible explanation as to why he would appoint a transgender person, somebody that would normally be condemned within the Islamic ideology, why he would appoint someone like that to a high-ranking position in the White House?
Let's put it this way. Islam condemns homosexuality for Muslims. The kuffar, they're already the filth. They are the evil. So for them to participate in that, it's already, you know, we're already guilty. And whether we participate in, you know, lewd acts like that is insignificant in the Muslim mind. So homosexuality is forbidden for Muslim men, by the way. But it's not forbidden, and I hate to get into this because we're on air and we need to be PG in this, but let's just try to put it this way. There's a lot of sexual acts that go on between men and boys. In fact, there's promises to the Shahid, to the martyr. Not only will there be virgins for him, but also boys.
You know,
and
Tom,
so there's some sick things that go on in Islam.
Well, you're exactly right about that. And again, if our listeners will remember, when we went into Iraq and took down Saddam Hussein, he had two boys, Uday and Qusay, and the things that they were involved in, some of it came to light, their sexual proclivities and their activities in that realm became known to some degree to the American people, and it was absolutely perverted stuff. And Tom, that is part of Islam's dirty little secret. They have these laws that condemn certain aberrant behavior, and yet that aberrant behavior is not just tolerated, it is almost encouraged under the surface and participated in by these folks that are adherents to this wicked, evil ideology called Islam. Tom, I want to shift gears as we get ready to move out of this second segment into the third segment, and I want to talk a little bit about the treatment of Muslim women under Islamic ideology. Can you take, in the next minute and a half we have, and just give us a very quick cursory history of who the Prophet Muhammad was so that people will understand where we're going to go from here in the third segment?
Well, certainly Muhammad didn't have very many nice things to say about women. He said of them that hell is largely filled, three-quarters filled with women because they were deficient in mind. And women are considered in the Sharia, in the law of Islam, to be half the value of a man. If there's testimony given in court, two women has to equal to one man's testimony. So if she says something and a man says something, her testimony carries half the weight. If there's a rape, for example, she has to have four women or two men, but, you know, to testify on her behalf that, yes, she was attacked and raped. If she doesn't have that, then she's responsible for the sexual attack, and then she'll be considered the one of committing fornication or adultery and could be stoned and killed for the act of someone raping her. And this has happened often in many Muslim countries.
Friends, there's a specific incident we're going to bring up that ties directly into what Tom just said about the laws relative to rape in Islamic theology. And it has to do with this young aid worker named Kayla Mueller, who was killed by an airstrike. We're going to get into some of that following the break. I want to encourage you, please come back. Stay with us. We have some incredible information that we're going to communicate relative to the treatment of women under the ideology / religion of Islam. So stay with us. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. An archaeologist has been murdered by Islamic State terrorists in Syria.
81-year-old Khalid al-Assad was beheaded and his body hung from a Roman column in Palmyra. Al-Assad was one of Syria's most prominent antiquity scholars. Since the Islamic militants overran Palmyra in May, there has been a fear they'll destroy the many artifacts, similar to what they've done in Iraq. The group is against paganism.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady and the NFL are told again by a judge in New York to work out their fight over his 4-game suspension for deflated footballs.
Brady was not in the courtroom. He's at Patriots training camp. The judge did order that both Brady and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell attend a hearing set for August 31st. Either the sides will settle or the judge will decide by early September.
Fox News Radio's Grinnell Scott. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is your host, Dave Kistler, and my co-host today is Tom Wallace, the president of Fortress of Faith. Tom, again, it is a delight to have you aboard. I want to ask you a specific question relative to the treatment of women under the Islamic ideology. In August of 2013, there was a young aid worker by the name of Kayla Muller who was working at a hospital called Doctors Without Borders. She left that hospital in the afternoon. That hospital is located in Syria. and she was captured by ISIS entities. And 2 years later, February 6th of this year, actually, she was declared dead. And the ISIS entities that captured her claim she was killed by a coalition airstrike trying to take out some ISIS entities. There's still some that question whether or not that is the case or not. But, Tom, in the last several days, Kayla's family has confirmed to ABC News that U.S. government officials have told them that their daughter, who would have turned 27 years old this week, was the victim of repeated sexual assaults by ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Now, Tom, I want you to talk a little bit about why that is significant. Talk a little bit about the Islamic theology relative to rape. You touched on it earlier, talking about how many witnesses a woman had to have to verify that she had been raped by a Muslim man. The treatment of Kayla, the repeated raping of Kayla by Baghdadi, is that something that is not just tolerated? Is that allowed? Is that encouraged? Is that a component of Islamic theology relative to women?
I'm sorry, my mic turned down. Sorry about that. It is an act that is celebrated in Islam. It goes to the doctrine of al-Sabi. Al-Sabi is basically sex slavery for the warrior, for the jihadi, who is... There's a whole chapter in the Quran on war booty. And so once people have been conquered by Islam, the men over the age of 14 are generally killed, and then the women and the children are taken into slavery. Of course, Muhammad gets one-fifth of the booty himself, personally. He had over 6,000 slaves, according to the traditions of Islam. Many of them were pretty women that he took to be his sex slaves. Some of them he married. One was Rahana, who eventually killed him, actually. He died at the hands of one of these ladies, and that's a story in itself. But so anyhow, this whole idea of al-Sabi, is being practiced amongst ISIS. In fact, they have publications teaching this practice. Their well-known magazine that they put out there in the 9th edition, on page number 76, you have a whole article, page 44, dealing with this slave girls, the doctrine of al-Sabi. There's a flyer, a pamphlet that they distribute that goes through these doctrines. And basically, it tells the Muslim that not only do you have the right to have sex with these captured women, it is your duty, because it's humiliating them. And eventually what they believe is that they will turn to Islam. They'll submit, because that's the whole idea. Islam means submit. And so showing force and control over the woman, and women are to be controlled. Surah 434 gives the husband, the Muslim man, the obligation to beat his wife into obedience. Obedience, submission is the concept, the whole goal of Islam. And the Muslim woman is to show her obedience to Allah by being submitted and obedient to her husband.
Tom, let me ask you a question here, and I apologize for interrupting, but man, you are sharing such powerful information that my mind is racing a million directions. I want to ask you a question, Tom, and just be as candid as you can possibly be. Hillary Clinton is already doing this, and she's not even the Democratic nominee for president. I have serious and growing every day, serious questions as to whether or not she is going to be the nominee. In fact, I don't think she is. I've thought that for some time. But she continually, in the Democratic Party, uses this phrase, war on women, war on women. And they accuse the Republican Party of trying to establish a war on women. Tom, the war on women is being perpetrated by the Islamic faith. Why, in your estimation, would those within the current administration, why would there be those up on Capitol Hill? Why would Hillary Clinton herself not want to admit that the real war on women is taking place at the hands of Muslim entities, but want to blame it on the Democratic Party? Are they ignorant of what Islam actually teaches? Do they not know, or do they know and they have an agenda that wants them to gloss it over and not mention these horrible atrocities that are practiced in the name of Islam.
I think it's a fantasy. They live in a make-believe world. They want to believe that Islam is what the reformers are trying to make Islam to be, and the reformers are trying to make a god, Allah, of their own imagination that fits the, you know, model that would be palatable here in the West, that's more peaceful and less, you know, horrific and brutal, like we see what really is going on with Islam and what Muhammad had taught. And so I think they're fantasizers. They live in a make-believe world and try to refuse the reality.
Tom, if you could back up just for a minute. I know you made reference earlier in the program to the requirement for Muslim women to convince under Sharia law to be believed that a rape had occurred. Can you go back through that? I think you said it was they have to produce four women or two men that can verify that a rape has occurred. Explain how that would go, and also talk, if you would please, very practically, about how difficult, yea, impossible almost it is for a woman to produce those kind of witnesses in the Islamic faith.
Okay, well, for a capital crime, there has to be two witnesses. Now, when I say two witnesses, I mean men. And so two men have to testify, yes, I saw this crime committed or this act committed. And so the Sharia requires two witnesses, being men. And so if there's two men that are required to testify, and if she doesn't have two men to testify on her behalf, then she must have four women, because it takes two women to equal one man. And now, so look at the reality here. So she has to have four women who had to be in place, who physically observed the act of her being raped, and that is then willing to come forward and testify against another man.
Which is virtually impossible to happen, is it not, Tom, in the Muslim religion?
Yeah. It's a lose-lose situation, and the woman knows that she has very little chance of surviving any act in court to make her free.
You know, friends, what you're hearing today is something that is not being reported at all within the mainstream media. Tom, if you would, before we leave this segment and go into our final segment, could you share a little bit about your ministry, Fortress of Faith? Because I really want to direct our listeners to your website. It is a very interactive website filled with all kinds of information. Talk also, if you would, please, a little bit about your radio program. And I apologize, you've only got a couple of minutes to do it, but we'll have you share a little more right before we end the program at the end of the last segment. But if you could share a little bit about your ministry, your website, and so on. So if people want to learn more about this, they'll know where to go to garner the information.
Sure, I'll be glad to. Well, for now almost a decade, I've been publicly exposing Islam. Our ministry is a Christian apologetic polemic ministry. We defend Christianity from the false charges of Islam, but we also point out the false teaching of Islam and prove Muhammad to be a false prophet and Islam an evil ideology masquerading as a religion. We have a national radio broadcast on American Family Radio. We're on 250 stations nationwide. And our website, you can listen to our broadcast. We have about 2 years of our broadcast online at fortressoffaith.com. That's fortressoffaith.com. We have about 1,200 articles. Every broadcast we do, we also produce an article, a blog, to go along with it. So we quote our sources. You can check out the scriptures we quote and the scholars of Islam. Basically, we use their words against them. they're a great resource. And so we're just exposing what they're saying, what Islam is teaching. And I'm confident when America is more familiar with what Sharia is all about, they're not going to want it in their country. And so we are trying to raise the alarm. But we also want to rescue Muslims. Folks, don't blame Muslims for Islam. They're victims, and they need to be rescued and brought to Christ. And we praise God. We've now heard of over 70 Muslims have come to Christ as a result of our ministry, and we want to see more. And so we teach people how to engage Muslims with the gospel. We praise God for that.
Tom, I appreciate so much what you just said. This is not about hatred toward anybody that is a victim or that is enslaved in a false ideology. This is about exposing the evil that is the ideology of Islam, but it's about loving those that are enslaved in it enough to communicate the truth to them. And Tom, very recently, I've had the privilege of seeing two Muslims come to faith in Christ in our meetings, Amen. Rescued from that false ideology. And Tom, they love Jesus with a passion, because the Bible teaches this principle: if you're saved from much, you love much. So friends, stay with us. Come back after the break. We're going to be talking more about this very topic. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure, and in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's Prime Minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
The probability that we may fail in the struggle ought not to deter us from the support of a cause we believe to be just. A quote from Abraham Lincoln.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is your host, Dave Kistler, and my guest today, co-hosting actually with me today, is my dear friend Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith. Tom, it has been a delight to have you on board the program today. The hour always goes so quickly when you're on with me, but my friend, I appreciate you more than I can say. The way you have invested your life to learn about the religion of Islam, the ideology of Islam, and to be quite honest with you, Tom, the risk that you are taking by speaking so forthrightly, so directly, yet so lovingly, compassionately, trying to reach Muslims with the gospel. Tom, it is a model, really, I believe, of what every Christian ought to be doing, and especially every pastor, every preacher ought to be in like fashion engaged in trying to reach these dear ones that have been enslaved by this horrific ideology. We ought to be engaged in trying to reach them with the gospel. Tom, to put an exclamation point on what we've been talking about today, and that is the treatment of women under the ideology of Islam, you have some statistics that have just recently come out from the United Nations that are absolutely shocking and beyond compelling. Tom, why don't you share that with our listening audience here in the last segment?
Well, we're having some terrible, terrible things come out of Syria. The United Nations has a, you know, an office, a special representative of the sexual violence group. Her name is Zainab Bangura. And her report here that came out just a couple of months ago was, it breaks your heart to read these stories. Let me give you a few examples. Basically, as ISIS takes over a village, a town, a city, generally in practice, because Muhammad did this, they would kill the men from the age of 14 upwards. Now, they give them an option. You either die today or you become Muslim. And if they become Muslim, then they're recruited to fight with them. If not, then they kill them. But the women and the children are taken as slaves. The girls, the pretty girls, they'll be stripped naked, tested for their virginity. And this is the UN report of facts and proofs that they have of this, of these things going on. The unlucky ones, the pretty ones, are sent to Raqqa. This is, you know, the headquarters for ISIS in Syria. And then there's a hierarchy set up of who gets first pick: the sheikhs, the emirs, then the fighters. And they often will take three or four girls at a time, ravage them for a month or so, and then send them back and so on there. There's reports that from high-ranking diplomat that some of these girls have been swapped by ISIS commanders over 22 times. One girl, she was 9 years of age. 9 years of age. She's pregnant. She was able to escape, and she was raped at least 10 times, or rather by 10 different people. A 19-year-old girl who also escaped with this young girl, you know, she describes what was going on. They were taken to these rooms, these brothels, I guess, a warehouse, and hundreds of women are in these rooms, and they have to stand in lines of 10, and then in comes in a young man or whatever and describes what he's looking for, and then they, you know, send them out. And it's just awful, the things that are going on.
You know,
and again,
Tom,
this is all part of the doctrine, al-Sabi.
You know, folks, it's interesting. And, Tom, I'll tell you what, just listening to those things that are in that UN report, and I know you sanitized some of it for us, which I'm sure our listeners greatly appreciate. But just listening to that, Tom, and it's something we absolutely have to be aware of, but listening to it just turns your stomach. Let me ask you a question. How in heaven's name is it possible for a United States administration, how is it possible for this country not to do something about these horrific atrocities being committed by ISIS. I understand, you know, we say we're committing, you know, we're conducting bombing raids, and we're doing this, that, and the other thing. Tom, we're doing nothing of substance to stop this Islamic State, this ISIS entity, from its reign of terror across Iraq and Syria. And Tommy, if they're not stopped, obviously they're going to come to this country, and they're going to continue to perpetuate, under the auspices of the Islamic faith, they're going to perpetuate these horrific atrocities. How is it possible in your mind that we're not doing more to come to the aid of these helpless, hopeless women?
I'm afraid there's an agenda in the Obama administration, and it's not to hurt Islam. It is more to help and aid its cause. And I'm afraid there's no other answer. It's clear we're not fighting ISIS. We're fighting 14, according to one of the generals, I don't have the information in front of me, but one of the generals was telling us, we only fly 14 sorties a day. 14 sorties a day. And most of these pilots come back frustrated and upset and mad because they've got their target in sight, but a command is not given for them to carry out the firing. And, you know, they had the opportunity to take the shot. It was safe to take, but someone up the channel said, no, come home, stand down. And so we were flying so few sorties. You compare that to other conflicts that we've had, and it's just pitiful, absolutely pitiful. We're not fighting this. We are like a cat playing around with really no intention to bring destruction to, you know, to our prey. We're just playing around at this to give an illusion that we're doing something.
And yet, you know, Tom, the president has said we are going to degrade and destroy ISIS, and yet we have done nothing of the sort. Tom, we have about 2 minutes left. Let me quickly ask you this. Are you familiar with Glenn Beck's new book? The title of it is, and the word is in all caps, It Is About Islam. And the premise of the book is it's not about radical Islam. It's not about an aberration of the religion of Islam. It's not about a component of Islam that's hijacked, as we hear so often said, a peaceful religion and perverted it. What Beck is saying is it is about Islam itself. Tom, is that the truth? Are we dealing with the ideology and religion of Islam as a whole, not some hijacked component of it?
Well, again, I'm not familiar with his book, but my new book that's coming out soon, Refuting Islam, I deal with this aspect of calling it radical is a fantasy. It's not radical. It is exactly what Islam is. This militant side is the real true face of Islam. Calling it radical is a propaganda tool to whitewash, to deceive people to think that, oh, these are only a few radical extremists who are taking a peaceful religion and misinterpreting verses out of the Quran to justify their actions. No, the fact is they're doing exactly what Muhammad did and following what he truly said. It's not radical. It's truly Islam. And so, you know, the jihadis, the terrorists, they drink their Islam neat. They don't water it down. And
Tom,
this is what we get.
Tom Wallace, thank you so much for being on with us. Very quickly, in 15 seconds, give our listening audience your website address where they can learn more about your ministry and learn more about the religion of Islam.
Again, we're at fortressoffaith.com, fortressoffaith.com. And there's tons of materials there. Glad for you to go and visit. Thank you, Dave.
Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us today. Tom Wallace, thank you so much for being on the program. Friends, tune in again tomorrow. We have some vitally important information to communicate to you from a biblical and constitutional perspective. This is Dave Kistler, and we pray you have a great day. Join us again tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.